This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Anchor by Spotify. And if you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training or equipment needed. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast worldwide on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, like I've been saying, Anchor is totally free. It's free. Download the Anchor app today or go to anchor.fm to get started and make your podcast dreams a reality. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app.
Well, it's a big show.
Welcome to the Fade Route.
It's a big bad show tonight.
With DNZ.
Yeah, it's a big show.
Here are your hosts.
Crack it up. Tell them them lies.
DNZ.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Fade Route with DNZ. I am D, and we got a great show for you tonight. The Broncos and the Texans have new coaches, terrible officiating over the weekend, and our Super Bowl matchup is set. We'll begin today's show with Tom Brady retiring again. Quarterback called it quits today over Twitter and Instagram, keeping it short and sweet. Thanked a bunch of people, but he said he's hanging it up. Z, is this for real this time, or is he going to get a call from someone in September?
For his sake, I hope it's for real this time, because at this point, he has as many fake retirements as Roddy Piper. So he's come back. I wouldn't say he's tarnished his legacy, but it definitely, he did not have the year that he wanted to close out on. I think we can all agree that Tom Brady did not do what he set out to do. Every year, his goal is to bring a championship to his team. And it just looked the shambles. You know, the Bucs, for all the good, you know, he threw 25 picks. Excuse me, he threw 25 touchdowns, 9 picks, but when it mattered most, guys are running the wrong routes. You know, Tom is spiking it in the dirt. He looked uncomfortable. He looked off. He looked distracted for a lot of the year. Now, a lot of that has to, you know, there's a lot going on, a lot of factors, right? His divorce, documented he hadn't seen his kids over the holidays, like many people. His cryptocurrency deal, FTX, that went up in smoke. They lost what, $650 million, something like that. And the Fox contract doesn't kick in until he retires. So he has it's a promise ring for $375 million over 10 years. So yeah, he's going to get paid. But this year is a downer. It's a definite downer, you know? But how's he going to be remembered, right? How's Tom Brady going to be remembered? Ultimate winner.
Don't ask Francesca about that.
Oh, God. Yeah, I heard about that. But 7-time Super Bowl champ. 5-time Super Bowl MVP. Come on. 3-time All-Pro, 15-time Pro Bowl. He has nothing to prove to anybody, including Mike Francesa.
That guy.
All right. And back into this.
Honestly, I think he was planning on coming back but I think he wanted the right situation. I think he wanted to go to I think he wanted to go to Miami. And I think the word got to him that Miami's going to try to stick it out with Tua. And I think once he found that out, I don't think he was interested in going to San Francisco, which is kind of weird. But maybe he also realized that they might not be interested in him either. So that's really what I think happened. Because I do find it odd that he like gave up his marriage, got a divorce just to play one more year. And Tampa's finally going to find out if this guy Trask can play. He's the only quarterback on the roster now.
For now.
You know, I think he's going to have the itch, and I do think if a quarterback was to get hurt in August or September, I think he's going to get a phone call. Like, you're telling me that if Russell Wilson goes down, Sean Payton's not going to call Tom Brady?
So, what you're saying to me is that he's going to pull a Jay Cutler? No training camp, just going to start week one like Jay Cutler did with the Dolphins?
I think he would. I think he would. For the right situation, I think he would. Especially if it's Miami. Like, Tua gets concussed in the first game. You know, something along those lines. I just think it's a possibility. I do believe him. I do believe he's retiring and he's done. He literally is nothing else he has to prove.
No.
But I do know he can still play. He can still throw the ball. He can throw the ball. But he needs a lot of help. He needs a running game. He needs a line that's going to protect him. He needs a defense that's going to be top 10. Like, there's a 46 or 47 year old Tom Brady needs a lot of help. It can't be just him throwing the ball 63 times.
No, absolutely not. If that is what's going on in the game, that's a recipe for disaster.
Nah, you're done. You're done.
But ultimately, like, if you look at the arc of Tom Brady's career, it's, you know, Hall of Fame. Like Canton, straight away. You know, 649 touchdowns, 64.3% completion for his career. Like, his record, 251-82 for his career. Like, that's impressive. You know, that's very impressive.
Francesa doesn't think so. Francesa thinks it's all because he played so long. He played 23 years. That's why he's so great.
He's a compiler.
Dude, I mean,
what an asinine cold take.
He says Peyton Manning is the best regular season quarterback of all time. And Joe Montana is the best Super Bowl quarterback of all time. It's like,
that,
Mike, you did not take medicine this morning.
Ugh. All right. I can understand where he's coming from, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is a prolific touchdown thrower.
This is what I'll say about that comment. I think if you're going to label people the best regular season quarterback of all time, that opens up the discussion to a lot of football players, a lot of quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Drew Brees, all-timer.
Right.
Dan Marino, all-timer. Like, these guys, Steve Young, all-timer. Like, these guys set records, won games. Like, John Elway probably really is the best regular season quarterback of all time, if you're going to do that. So, I have a problem. He wants to pick Peyton Manning, and he probably wants to go defend him. That's fine, but when you're talking about regular season, you're opening up a bigger can. It's not just Tom Brady. There's a lot of other names there. There's Terry Bradshaw. There's Troy Aikman. There's a lot of guys.
Jim Kelly.
But Super Bowl, that's where I draw the line. I don't want to hear anything. The dude has 7 rings. He won 3 in his 20s, 2 in his 30s, and 2 in his 40s. I don't want to hear it. Because if that's the case, right, Francesca, if that's the case, then Pat Mahomes can never pass Joe Montana just because he got a loss? Because he lost one game? No. I understand. Listen, Joe is one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, too. He's 4-0 in Super Bowls, never even threw an interception, okay? But at the end of the day, Joe was playing with Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball. Okay? Tom, his best wide receiver he ever had, he didn't even win a Super Bowl with that guy, Randy Moss. And then Gronk, yeah, okay, he had Gronkowski, but there's no other Hall of Famers he had in the backfield or at the wideout spot.
No, none. Edelman, borderline.
He's not.
Here's the thing. They'll get
Welker.
In,
Welker might be able to get in.
Welker might be
able to get in.
Tom Brady was the ultimate guy in taking chicken shit and making chicken salad, yeah. Right? Troy Brown was his number one receiver when they won the first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I get that. And you know what? Something to be said about Peyton Manning having Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison.
Edgerrin James. Don't forget about Edgerrin James, who's a top five rusher of all time.
Yeah. So, and then when we get to the Super Bowls, right? Get to his performances in the Super Bowl. Peyton threw that gut-wrenching pick to Tracy Porter.
God.
Let's not forget.
God. And he had the awful one against the Seahawks when he was on Denver.
Uh-huh.
Listen, the conversation ends for me with Tom Brady as the best Super Bowl quarterback of all time when you look at the Seattle Seahawks win, because that was the best defense in the league the last 2 years. He only threw like 4 incompletions in that game, and on the last drive when he got the ball, he was 7-for-8 for over 70 yards, and he put his team ahead. Now what happened after that, he has no control over. You know, the Seahawks going down to the goal line and getting picked off, that's not his control. I'm talking about him versus the Seattle Seahawks defense. And then the next one is the Falcons game. 28-3. He came down. He came back and won that game. Not to mention, he threw a crucial 2-point conversion pass, screen pass, on the goal line to tie it. If he throws that ball in the dirt, if it gets tipped, if he throws it over the guy's head, they lose. That's it for me. If your guy's Joe Montana, then I want to know, what would Tom have had to do to pass Joe Montana? What, 10 Super Bowls? Like, what, undefeated season? What would he have had to do?
That's a good question, you know? It makes you wonder what, you know, Mike's criteria is for this. You know, you want undefeated in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it. So, if Tom Brady was 10-0 in the Super Bowl, would he have argued that he's better? Most likely. Because he, Mike Francesa, is a ring chaser. He's a star chaser. He openly, you know, defines you by winning. So that's kind of who Mike Francesa is. And over the years, he's definitely been taken to task, and his opinion and his stature in sports media has been tarnished a little bit. You know, the sports pope has kind of been pushed to the wayside a little bit ever since he left FAN. And, you know, his opinion isn't as regarded by the overwhelming sports talk community. I mean, he's become more of a regional voice now. And, you know, he's entitled to his opinion, and the facts just don't bear out. Now, you can argue, and I would say it's more of a valid argument, that Brady is playing in a different time than Montana.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Montana, sure, they could have murdered him on the field.
Yeah.
You can't breathe. You can't look at Tom Brady.
Right,
right. Like, he blinked at me 15 yards.
And teams were built differently then, too. Like, what the 49ers were able to compile at that time, you can't do that now. And you're right. I mean, Harry Carson and Lawrence Taylor basically destroyed Joe Montana's career. Like, they broke his back. I mean, the play with Carson, he broke his back on that play. So, that's fine. And I'm not taking a shot at Joe. I mean, Joe is, like, one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time. But to break it, I have a problem with him breaking it up the way he did. To say, well, my regular season guy is Peyton Manning and my Super Bowl guy is Joe Montana. It's just like, that's just hot garbage. It's just hot garbage. Like, Peyton Manning, I mean, stop. stop. And then you, if you want to, you want to start talking coaches, whatever. Frances is a bum.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs for men and women. That's fckclout.com.
But at the end of the day, the Super Bowl is happening. Philadelphia Eagles punched their ticket to the Super Bowl, dismantling the 49ers in the NFC Championship game 31-7. After knocking out both quarterbacks, Brock Purdy and Josh Johnson, Purdy returned to the game, but only to hand it off. Do we get a different result with a healthy Brock Purdy?
I don't know, man. Like that, I can't say with a, you know, I can't say with any degree of certainty that that would be the case, but it would have put together a more yeoman performance than he did. And, you know, 4 for 4 for 23 yards.
Crushing.
He had, you know, he had the sack, the fumble lost, but torn UCL to add insult to injury. He's going to be out for a little bit. Now, Johnson comes in. Josh Johnson looked completely unprepared. You know, this is the biggest moment of his career. 13-year veteran. You know, 13 teams is like the Octavio Dotel of football. And he, you know, there he showed why he's a career journeyman, like scout team quarterback. The Eagles brought it. They brought it with speed on the rush. They brought, you know, they brought a diversified rushing game, right? They had 4 legitimate threats coming out of that backfield, you know, Jalen Hurts included. Controversial catch from Devontae Smith. We're gonna go over the day that was in officiating, but they didn't really do that much in the air. You know, this was a run heavy, and we're gonna beat you with our defense, and they did. And they did. You know, like, you knocked out Purdy, you knocked out Johnson. Only one pass attempt was, you know, it was Christian McCaffrey, 0 for 1. Now, could Kyle Shanahan have gotten more creative? I don't know if you necessarily have a game plan at that point, you know? Especially for a team that's going to stack the box the way the Eagles did. They know what you're going to do. You don't have a choice. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, if you have some kind of wildcat, yeah, you break it out. But how many times is it going to be successful? You know, Christian McCaffrey, he completed that one touchdown pass the first week he was active for the Niners. But that doesn't make you a quarterback, you know? Kyle Juszczyk, I think, was the emergency quarterback. They didn't line him up under center once. He didn't take one snap at quarterback. So, you know, it's one of those things that they knew they were licked. The Eagles knew they had him. The Niners knew they were licked. The Niners tried to survive on defense, and the Eagles did what they needed to do, and they are punching their ticket to Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have a slightly different take. I mean, if you were expecting a different result, if Purdy is healthy, then Purdy is healthy, then that would have meant the 49er defense would have had to show up. They didn't. He got 0 sacks, 0 interceptions. They allowed 4 rushing touchdowns. Nick Bosa's stack line, 0 sacks, 3 tackles, and 0 pressures. The thing that surprised me the most is the way I thought you beat the 49ers is through the air, is their weak secondary, is throwing bombs. And the Eagles ran it down their throat. They ran it down their throat. And Fred Warner, where you at? 4 tackles? Wow.
That was a disappointing performance.
Wow. So the larger story here is Kyle Shanahan. To me, the larger story here is Kyle Shanahan burning through 4 quarterbacks in 19 games this year. and do four quarterbacks. And shame on the 49ers for not having Josh Johnson ready. I mean, he is a journeyman, Z. Mm-hmm. But he's had success. Like, he can play quarterback in the NFL. He can throw. There's no reason why he can't throw 15-yard outs, 13-yard button hooks, and slant patterns. They took for granted that they were going to go into this game with Brock Purdy, and they weren't going to have any issues. They were going to block the boys up front, and he's not going to get hurt. And that was a piss poor approach to the game, because that's not how you got to go into this. And once the change was made to Josh Johnson, let's call plays that work for him. Let's get McCaffrey the ball in space. Like,
where was Debo at the backfield?
Let's get Debo in the backfield, but let's also throw Debo down the sideline. Like, let them respect, you know, let them respect that we're gonna try to throw it deep. And there was none of that. You know, last week I gave Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit. I don't like the guy. And I gave him a lot of credit because what he did this year, coaching this team up, was remarkable. It really was. But at the end of the day, your team was not ready to play in this game with Josh Johnson. And that's shame on you. And I think the front office really has to take a good look at John Lynch and everybody there, because at the end of the day, they traded a whole bunch of picks to move up to get Trey Lance, and he hasn't been on the field. And you got all the way to the NFC Championship game with Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo four times over the last 5 years. So what's the answer? Because now what do you do? Because now there's a lot of questions, right? Because now Brock Purdy's hurt. So if you were once thinking, hey, you know, he could be our guy, that's out the window. Jimmy G's leaving. You could pencil him in for either Vegas or New York. You can pencil him in, and he's out. I don't blame him. You should get the hell out of there. And you got to hope Trey Lance is ready, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you hang your hat on Brock Purdy, but you know what? He's down for 6 weeks, and it's an elbow. Like, elbows go. Like, that's the thing that
Tom,
you have to
Tom
worry
is,
about.
Tom is out.
He's out. So, do you swing it? Do you try and poach Aaron Rodgers before? Do you sweeten the pot so much that the Packers, like, go back on their word about wanting to trade Aaron Rodgers in the NFC?
Yeah.
Like, do you blow them out of the water? Do you blow the Jets out of the water? Do you blow the Packers out of the water? Because Jimmy G is going to Tampa Bay, or he's going to the Jets, or he's going
Vegas.
He's going anywhere but San Francisco.
New England. He's going to have a job next year, and it's not going to be in San Francisco.
No. He's going anywhere but San Francisco.
Yeah. And I don't blame him. Get out of there.
No. And they didn't want you. They turned to you because they had to.
Shit, he could go to the Colts, right?
He can go to the Panthers with Frank Reich.
He could go to the Panthers. Frank Reich would love him. Mm-hmm. He'd love him.
Yeah. And Frank Reich might be the only guy. Frank Reich might be able to turn him and Sam Darnold around.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with JG. He gets hurt. That's all. You know. Yeah. But you know. But over on the other side, over in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs will join the Eagles after edging out the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. Linebacker Joseph Asai late hit out of bounds on Patrick Mahomes gave the Chiefs the field position, and Harrison Bunker delivered the winning field goal. Bengals and the mayor of Cincinnati were talking all sorts of trash this week leading up to the game. Did we see karma in action?
Well, we definitely saw that Travis Kelce likes wrestling.
Ha!
How many? We had a Ric Flair, and we had two Rocks, I believe, if I counted correctly. So he bit off. If you're going to bite off somebody, bite off the best. So good job, Travis Kelce. You identified that The Rock and Ric Flair were great promos, and you decided to steal from them. Steal from the best. I agree with that. But it definitely was karma in action for all that Burrowhead shit. You know, you can't... bulletin board material is real. And it was evident that bulletin board material is real because everybody cringed when they heard Mike Hilton saying, "We'll see you in Burrowhead." They were up to play. Chris Jones finally got his elusive playoff sack. So good for Chris Jones. He got two of them.
Two?
Not just one. He got two of them. You know, they picked off Burrow twice. And, you know, ultimately, this was a back and forth, well-contested game. The two bad throws by Burrow aside, they hung in this game, and they had the lead. They had a lead. So this was as close to a pick'em as you can get. You have, you know, a very formidable team. Now, the Kansas City run game, non-existent. Non-existent. You're, you know, Isaiah Pacheco only had 26 yards. He's your leading rusher.
It's wild.
That's a problem. That's definitely a problem. But, you know, if you look at the other side, rushing yards were at a premium too. You know, the Bengals only totaled 71 yards, and Joe Burrow led the team with 30.
We know what happens when that happens.
Yeah, just ask Josh Allen. But, you know, it was a coming out party for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 6 for 116 and a touchdown. If he can sustain that, right? Because you lost Hardman, you lost Tony, you lost Juju. They're all kinds of banged up. Thankfully, the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks. So you can get these guys back. But if Valdes-Scantling is able to put together a performance in 2 weeks like he had on Sunday, I think the Chiefs are going to, you know, have a very solid day against the Eagles, right? Because you have Bradbury, you have Slay, but that's a lot. That's a lot to try and cover, you know, between Juju, Hardman, Tony, Kelsey, Valdes-Scantling. That's a lot. That's a lot of firepower. We're going to see what the Eagles are made of, but I'm going to talk about the Osai hit for just a second. Now, it had to be called, right? Mahomes, he was going out of bounds.
Did it though? It did. I don't know, man. It's tough. His momentum is taking him that way. I think it's a tough. I get it. Listen, it was a penalty. I get it. But I don't know if you call it in that situation. Like, that's such. They deprived us of seeing an overtime.
Well, they didn't deprive us of anything. So a player made a boneheaded play. Like a boneheaded play, which is a foul. So I say call it and go from there. If you're going to. And if you're going to call it, you have to call it on both sides.
Right. Look at all those late hits on Joe Burrow that weren't called. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, you know, this is the kind of game that you set up. You set this up. You know, you didn't call it pretty much all game. And there were some chops that was, he was getting hit in his head and neck area. And he was even looking back at the ref like, yo, where's the call, man? So that's why I'm saying I don't know if you call it there because you just weren't calling it all game.
Well, that's another story for another time because the playoff officiating has been hot garbage, right?
The only thing I want to say is like with Cincinnati, mm-hmm. right? They were very chatty, but I don't really think this was karma. This was just the Chiefs really just being better on Sunday, and I'm just saying on Sunday they were the better team. I mean, listen, the Chiefs were without Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They had no running game. Patrick Mahomes had a bad ankle. They lost their best corner during the game, and they still won by 3. Like, listen, I was rooting for the Bengals. I wanted the Bengals to win, but I can't get upset after seeing the performance by Mahomes. I mean, he had over 300 yards, no turnovers, 2 touchdowns, and he had to run at the end of the game to seal it. I'm not going to say it was karma because they, you know, the Bengals were the defending AFC champions. They did beat the Chiefs the last 5 times they played them. So, I just think they got beat because the Bengals had their opportunities. You know, yes, Asai got called for that penalty, but you know, I'm gonna take the Zach Taylor approach and say that didn't lose the game. Okay, the Bengals had their chance. They had many a chance that they blew, and Kansas City capitalized it. They got those two interceptions on Burrow. They were having trouble protecting him. There was actually a drive right before the Chiefs got the ball where the Bengals had the ball and they didn't score and they gave the ball back to them. So it's the way the cookie crumbles.
Well, the loss of T. Higgins also was an issue. So you have 683 and a touch, solid, solid performance. Boyd didn't give you much, 2 for 40. He was out. Chase, solid but unspectacular. Kansas City D came ready to play. Yeah, like they can't. You got to credit Spags actually. Spags. He got the job done. So that's with the issues on the offensive line, and it's consistently a problem, right? Like even last year, they addressed it in offseason, right? Joe Burrow met Aaron Donald at the end of the Super Bowl last year. He got to know him personally. In order to avoid that, they brought in Kappa. They brought in multiple players. Jonah Williams was healthy for most of the year. And then at a critical time, they lost three members of that line. Got completely wiped out.
Yeah.
Injuries happen. This underscores the Buffalo Bills. Because with those three linemen, they were still able to beat the Bills. Now, you go into Kansas City against a more whole Chiefs team. Even with Mahomes in a banged-up foot, tell me when Mahomes is healthy. Tell me when Mahomes has a good foot. Because how many years now has he been dealing with something on the foot? I think he knows how to play with a bad foot. I think he's demonstrated he knows what he's doing. And the physical therapy and strength and conditioning staff know what they're doing in Kansas City. Like, they know how to keep him healthy enough to play. And that was without any pain injection. Like, that was, that was a gutsy performance. That was a very gutsy performance by Patrick Mahomes. And now the pressure is going to be ratcheted even more. We're not going to break down the Super Bowl yet. We're not going to do that yet. That's for next week, right? Because we have a week, over a week until then. So let's keep our focus on what was this past weekend.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
The overarching story of both games was the controversial officiating from the so-called All-Star crew. You had holding calls that were missed, the inconsistent roughing the passer penalties that you mentioned between Burrow and Mahomes. Lane Johnson still false starting. Lane Johnson false started the entire fucking game. Naturally, fans take to social media claiming the games were rigged, and Arian Foster, remember Arian Foster?
That guy.
He came out today and agreed with the fans. He's like, oh yeah, totally rigged. They're scripted. How does the NFL fix these bad optics and improve officiating moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, they can't. I mean, human error is going to continue to be part of the game, especially how fast it moves and the age of the refs you have. You have older guys in there. You don't have guys in their 20s and 30s with these great eyesight and keen for, what players are doing, right? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think any of these refs are former players. It's not easy. I mean, there was also a really bad call at the end of the Lakers-Celtics game, and it was clearly egregious. I mean, LeBron James was fouled by Tatum, and it cost the Lakers the win. And granted, that's a regular season game. It sucks. You know, it's especially when people are betting on the games. That's the other problem. And that's why you have so many people saying it's rigged. Someone's pulling for this and this and that. They wanted the Kelce Bowl. They wanted the Reed Bowl. They didn't want the Bengals there. You're not going to be able to eliminate those talks. The calls were not as bad as the Miss Saints call from a few years ago. If you remember, the guy clearly obliterated the receiver before the ball got there. That was pretty bad. You know, to me, I mean, false starts you gotta get on, but false starts you gotta catch. But holding, I mean, holding happens almost every play, and
it's very hard to tell when a guy gets under the pads. It's very hard. But that one, you can catch somebody moving every play. Like, you can see that. And Lane Johnson did several times. And the inconsistencies of Burrow not getting the roughing the passer calls while Patrick Mahomes did, the late hit, the Osai late hit, it makes you wonder, right? You thought, or at least I thought, that Joe Burrow finally earned that cred where he's going to get some of these calls. I guess there are levels to this, and he's not on Patrick Mahomes' level yet. But, I mean, you had clock malfunctions. You've had, I mean, can the Eagles get chains, please? The chains broke again. The down chains broke again. Like, what the hell? Seriously, can they not go to Home Depot, get some chains, spray paint them orange? Like, come on now. Like, that's 2 weeks in a row that you've had your chains break. You had an issue with the clock in Kansas City, and ultimately, there was a fifth down play, essentially. So, it's a bad look. And I think that it stems from the fact that you have these so-called all-star crews. They're not used to being a part of the same group. They're not used to being part of the same unit. So it just becomes a problematic issue. And if you're going to call it the entire game. I think that's what the fans want. If you're going to leave it alone the entire game. But if you're going to call it, be consistent. The whole idea that NBA officiating is the same way. The last 2 minutes, they swallow the whistle. Especially in playoff game. Now, if you've been ticky-tack the entire game, and now all of a sudden you're letting people play, especially if the quote-unquote underdog is losing, or, you know, the favorite is driving down the field, it looks bad. It looks like you're in line with Vegas. You're trying to, you know, guarantee a certain point spread. You're trying to, you know, guarantee a certain outcome. It's a bad look. And, you know, it's time. It is time for the NFL to go back in and reevaluate officiating. It's to the point where we don't know what a catch is anymore.
No, right? I have no idea what a catch is.
Devontae Smith, that fourth down play, was that a catch?
No.
They called it, though. They called it a catch. And they got it because the Eagles got up to the line so quickly, they never had a chance to challenge. And what happened to that? There was, like, the rapid challenging. Like, where was that? Where was that? That was missing as well. So there has
to
be
this new thing they do when they are wrong. Like, when it could be quickly changed, where, you know, if you throw the challenge, like, no, we messed that up. You can have your challenge flag back. We caught this one.
We got it.
And then there's others that actually go to the tape, and it's just like, why can't it just be this simple all the time? Why does it have to get to that? Like, why? Like, that's the problem with replay. Yeah. And that's the problem with replay in the NBA, too. It's just like, we're either going to do this or we're not. Like, the fact that LeBron got fouled at the end of that game and it wasn't you couldn't challenge it and they didn't have any challenges left. It's like, okay, so now we just have to live with the fact that this was wrong. We can all clearly see that this was wrong. And it's the same thing in the NFL. It's like, if we're going to, let's either do it or don't. So if we can clearly see which way this should go, let's not go to even a booth review. Let's say, no, that wasn't a catch. That's it. Use the eye in the sky. That was the one thing that was good from that All-American Football League. It's like, in real time, it wasn't a catch. Move on. Let's go. You know, we can see it. We can see it more than you can. Lane Johnson's been offsides the last three plays. You're going backward, not forward. That's it.
Agreed. You know? Kadarius Toney dropped that pass. Devontae Smith dropped that pass. Devontae Smith was ruled a catch. Toney was ruled an incompletion.
It's like, why do we have to go to this situation where I have to throw a flag? You're going to come over to me, and when I tell you, you just messed up the last call, go look at it. And it's just, it's a waste of time. And then they get it wrong. And sometimes they get it wrong, which is crazy to me.
Not to mention bad spots, too. There was an extension. They pulled back. So that's not forward progress. Like, you pulled back. So you lost forward progress on that, but they still got the first down. It's an issue. And the NFL needs to clean up their rules. They need to clean up how they enforce the rules. And they need to clean up how they deal with these challenges. So all three of them, and that's a lot. That's a lot to deal with, because now Roger Goodell is dealing with the integrity of the game being called into question. So you definitely need to be proactive about this rather than reactive. And the NFL is all too often reactive, like when they put in the challenge for pass interference. But it's fixable. It is fixable. Not currently. You have to wait till the season's over. And the problem is, we still have one more game. So what the hell is going to happen there? I mean, we're going to see. And it's going to be on the biggest stage the NFL has this year. Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch Apple to Campfire S'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie. In other news, two more head coaching vacancies were filled in the NFL. The Broncos and Saints worked out a trade for Sean Payton's rights, and the Texans tabbed DeMeco Ryans, their former starting middle linebacker and plaintiff in a lawsuit against the team, as their guy. So, interesting hire, for sure. Who has the brighter future in their new home?
Can we just first start out with talking about how the Broncos have basically traded three first-round picks, their three second-round picks, and three NFL players for Sean Payton and Russell Wilson?
Yikes.
Wow.
Yikes.
Wow. Talk about setting a franchise back if this doesn't work out.
Yeah.
To me, the best part of all this is we are going to find out if the issue was Nathaniel Hackett or if it was Russell Wilson. We're going to find that out in week one. If you're the Jets, wouldn't this move made more sense to, instead of getting Hackett and then trading for Rodgers, wouldn't it made more sense to go get Sean Payton and either then get Rodgers or have Sean Payton work with Zach Wilson? Like, doesn't that make more sense than what they're doing right now?
You are only going to get about 2 years of Aaron Rodgers. So I can understand where you're hesitant to do that. You are getting Sean Payton for a longer period of time. And you have the wherewithal to do this, right? Because the Saints are getting the Dolphins pick from the Bradley Chubb trade. So they traded the fancy footwork by the Broncos, right? Because the Saints were out of the first round after they traded C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Now they're back in after this trade. So good work by the Saints. And the Broncos, I don't know. I don't know if it's a good combination. You're trying to sell me on the fact that Sean Payton did well with Drew Brees and Russell Wilson is about the same size as Drew Brees. So, you know, Russell Wilson is Drew Brees.
I'm just surprised that Payton didn't just wait a year, right, to get the Charger job. I mean, I think everybody in the country wanted him to get the Charger job.
It makes the most sense. And or just hang out a little while longer and Mike McCarthy will fuck things up, you know, in Dallas.
Because now he's the play caller down there, which is that's going to be awful.
Right. Or about Kellen Moore to the Chargers. Like, that's even more interesting.
That's weird. I don't know how that guy got a job.
Yeah, I mean, D'Amico Ryans is going to end up lasting longer, I think, just because...
Why? Their last three coaches, I think, have only done 1 year. Yeah, now, David Culley, Lovie Smith, and, well, Cornell took over, I think, for Bill.
He was an interim.
Their last three head coaches were coaches of color. This is their fourth coach that's of color. That's interesting.
That's very progressive of them. I will give Cal McNair credit. It's very progressive.
Of all teams, of all people.
Of all teams, you know, like, I think that it was too rich for the Broncos' blood, and they're going to want ROI, and they're not going to get ROI, because you're in the same division as the Chargers. You're in the same division as the Chiefs. You traded all this shit. You traded all these picks. You traded the players in the Russell Wilson trade. You traded Bradley Chubb. And you're third place. You're third place with Sean Payton. You're third place without Sean Payton.
I don't know, man. The one thing I'm going to say is I do think Sean Payton will get the best out of Russell Wilson. I think he'll get the best out of him. Now, what that is, I don't know. But looking at the Texans, and I'm just not sure this was the right hire. Like, what's the plan? Who are you drafting? Like, what's the plan here? Because to me, it's like, why wouldn't you go get an Eric Bieniemy? You're telling me he's
because Eric Bieniemy has never called a play.
Yeah,
he's the offensive coordinator, but Andy Reid calls the plays.
Yeah, but you're getting a defensive guy, so you don't draft a quarterback. You can't draft a quarterback if your coach is a defensive guy. I don't know. I don't really know what their angle is here. Like, you're the organization that, like, drafts, you know,
Terrell Stingley
or Jadeveon Clowney. Like, I don't, and J.J. Watt. So is that where we're going here? We're gonna start with the defense again and be terrible again. I don't know. I just, to me, I do think that the Broncos have the more upside, because why would Peyton go there if he didn't really think that he could turn things around or he could coach Russell Wilson, right? Think about it. He could go anywhere he wanted. He could wait a year or two, take that Charger job with Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, right? He could wait a year and go Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, play for the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, which he's always wanted to do, right? So you forewent all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to go to Denver with John Elway, a team with no draft picks now. Don't even have any draft picks, see? What you have on the field is what you got. You're going to have to win with this. And Russell ain't going nowhere.
No, so but all of his weapons are.
Is he cocky? Is he in over his head? I can't see Peyton going there and failing, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
I can see him failing, and it's going to happen because this team is mediocre. Judy's going to be gone. Sutton's going to be gone. He's not going to be. They're not going to be able to sustain any of this mediocrity, right? They just are not good enough. The answer to your question is money. The Broncos are going to give him that sweet Walmart money. Like, the owners of Walmart own the Broncos, so their pockets are deep. He's going to be one of the highest paid head coaches in the league. That doesn't happen with the Chargers. The Spanos family and the Chargers front office are notoriously cheap. They are notoriously cheap. So I don't see that being a matchup. And the Cowboys, you got to deal with old man Jerry Jones, who wants to coach the team. He's 85 years old, or however old, you know, Jerry Jones is, and he wants to be the coach. He wants to be the coach. He wants to be the GM. He would be the quarterback if you let him. I don't think that those are good jobs from a financial standpoint and from a control standpoint. You go there, you go to the Cowboys, you have no control. It's the illusion of control. Jerry Jones runs that team. With here, with Denver, you might have a little bit of wiggle room because Elway at this point has proven that he doesn't know how he's doing. Like, this organization may move on from John Elway. It may be bitter. It may be acrimonious. But eventually, John Elway is going to be gone. And I feel like that might have been an assurance. Like, you know, we'll come and get you, but, you know, he might not be here very long. But the cupboard is bare in Denver. And I don't think that Russell Wilson... I think what we saw last year is what we're going to see in the future. You know, Russell Wilson in Seattle is good for about 6 games. And then he goes south. That's kind of who he is. That's who he's become. Whereas with the Texans, there's only one place to go. Right? There's only one place to go. Up. You find your quarterback, whether it's Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, or if you go fishing in free agency, which I don't think you would because you're a rebuilding franchise. There are some players on this team that you can hang your hat on. Now, is it there yet? No, it's not. Is it a complete 180 from where you've been as an organization? No, because you hired successive defensive guys. But this is the first hire, right? Romeo Crennel, Cully, and Lovie Smith were all older, right? They had tons of NFL experience, but older guys. Maybe not necessarily players, coaches. Fresh voice, young voice. D'Amico Ryans is only 43 years old. He's not that far removed from playing. He might be able to speak a little bit differently to these guys. He might be able to unlock something in these guys. And with the right offensive coordinator, they may very well be onto something, you know? Because I don't think he's coming alone from San Francisco. Is he coming with Shanahan? No. But could he be coming with a Brian Greasy? Maybe. Could he be coming with another position coach that he'll give a shot as a coordinator? Who knows? But he's bringing that system. The Niner system is tough. It is physical. And if he can instill that in this team, I think that Houston's going to have a chance to be better. Not great. I'm not saying compete for a division, but they're not going to be the doormats that they are now. And in time, the Titans are flawed. The Colts are fading. You could be in second place as soon as next year in that division. So it's within the realm of possibility. And I just think that Sean Payton, he's going to get paid a lot of money. And he is just going to be on that hamster wheel, just ready and waiting for third place. But we are not without more surprises. In other news, the weekend is here, and the Pro Bowl games are finally here. The inaugural Pro Bowl games, with Eli Manning and Peyton Manning as your celebrity coaches. There are a few tweaks to the rosters, though. If you were expecting Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, you're not getting that. You're getting Trevor Lawrence. Okay. And wait for it. Derek Carr and Tyler Huntley. Derek Carr, who was deactivated by the Raiders. And Tyler Huntley, who threw two touchdown passes. I believe they are the 8th and 9th alternates, respectively.
Sorry, did you say two as in dose?
Two as in duh. Duh. Due. So, this is a great start for the new concept, right?
Straight trash. Derek Carr didn't even play his last two games as a Raider. They deactivated him and kicked him out of the building. But he's going to go to the Pro Bowl and wear his Raider helmet and his Raider logo jersey. I mean, this is so broken, and it seems to just keep getting worse and worse every year. Joe Burrow is not going to the Pro Bowl either. Tom Brady's not going. Why not just put the Pro Bowl overseas? Like, they're so into this Germany and England and all in Mexico. Why not do this skills competition in another country where maybe the people in Germany will be excited to see Tyler Huntley there instead of asking, who's he? I don't know who's going to watch this game. I'm not going to watch this game. But last year, the ratings were through the roof for some reason. So they're getting some poor sap to watch it.
I don't know. It's so strange. Like, I don't get it at all. Because you have, you know, you're going to have 7-on-7 flag football. You're going to have, you know, dodgeball. You're going to have an elimination challenge, the longest drive. Yeah. What? Like, what does this have to, what does this have to do with football? Just make it a convention, have these guys sit at tables and sign autographs.
Nobody wants to be there, Z. They're not going to want to do that either. Nobody wants to be a part of this. Just let it go. Just name people all pro and call it a day. Get rid of this. Just get rid of it. I think we've talked about it earlier in the year, but I do like the idea of a skills competition. But I don't want to see Tyler Huntley. I want to see Joe Burrow. I want to see the best players compete. And I'm not going to get the best players. And don't bother. Don't bother. I don't want to see Derek Carr. Who wants to see Derek Carr? I don't. His own team didn't want to see him anymore.
I mean, I think the only selling point is that it's in Vegas. So he'll just, like, he'll say goodbye to the Raiders fans. But yeah, these are not things that I want to look at. You know, precision passing, best catch, right? If anything, scream dunk contest. It's the best catch competition. So how are you voting on this? Like, what is this going to be? Is it going to be voted on like figure skating? Like, is it going to be like, are we going to have the ability to vote? Like, how does this work? And don't you think that will also open you up to injury? You know, a guy going up to try and make a best highlight reel catch blows out an ACL.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, but that seems a little more trouble than it's worth. There's some, like, tic-tac-toe game on Sunday. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Oh. Yeah. That actually I do think is cool. The kicking one?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. But everything else,
like, who came up with this? Marketing people or 8-year-olds?
Who might not be around here?
I don't, you know, I get that you're trying something new, but it's just, it's a gimmick. It's a complete and utter gimmick. And I don't think fans are going to tune into watches. If they are going to tune into watches, it's out of perverse wonder. Like why people rubberneck after a car accident. Like they're going to want to see how bad this is. And what exactly do the Mannings have to do with this? You know, like,
there's yeah, no... why are you here?
Like, I don't, I mean, it's a flag football game, but
why'd you even want to be a part of it? Why do you yeah. even want to go there? It's not like it's in Hawaii, it's in Las Vegas. Where do you want to go?
Right.
For what?
Just because it's on ESPN and it's part of the then do the broadcast.
Probably part of the contract. It's part of, definitely part of the contract.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. But I don't know. Like, it's, you know, in the press release, it's, you know, Sunday's events pursuing fun, spontaneous interactions, interviews, and commentary. Right. It's just, I don't know. This thing has been going downhill for quite a while. Kudos to trying new things, I guess. But, you know, even with the new things, the best players still don't want to go. So you kind of need to fix that as the NFL. But I don't think you're ever going to get these guys going. Like, it's never going to change. So, you know, I think you're right on. Just name an all-pro team and move on. And that way you wouldn't have to worry about, oh, shit, we're now on our ninth alternate quarterback. I'm sorry. There are only 16 teams. We're on our ninth alternate quarterback. I mean, are we going to get to Davis Mills at some point?
Like, you almost feel offended now if you're not invited, right?
Right.
Like, man, Tyler Huntley's going, man. I had more touchdowns than him.
But Tyler Huntley can now use this in arbitration, right? When
right.
it comes time, when it comes contract time. Yo, I'm a Pro Bowler.
That's right.
Everybody's a Pro Bowler. Like, Zach Wilson could have been a Pro Bowler. I think he threw more touchdowns than Tyler Huntley. Wait a minute. We have our first Pro Bowl game snub. Zach Wilson, Mike White, pretty much Joe Flacco. All three of them. They have more of a resume than Tyler Huntley this year. You got it wrong. NFL, you got it wrong. Go to your 10th, 11th, and 12th alternate.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
Bullshit or no shit, we're going to debate this week's most controversial sports topics right now. All right, boys and girls, here's how it goes. We have a statement, and it's either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one. Matt LaFleur's little brother will shine as the OC of the LA Rams.
This is a bullshit. I don't know what is. I mean, this guy. Is this not nepotism at its finest? Like, what did this guy do in New York that allowed him to land a job with the Rams? Honestly. I mean, really. I mean, what did he can't, he shouldn't even be able to get a job at a high school after what he did with. They didn't score a touchdown for the last 3 weeks of the damn season. But he gets the. Go and work for his buddy out in LA. Garbage.
It's complete and utter bullshit.
Garbage.
complete and utter. Now, the offensive problems of the Los Angeles Rams
are gonna be could solved. Not
by Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, healthy players would immediately solve this. And Mike LaFleur is just not creative. He's not particularly good at his job. Team ranks routinely at the bottom. Passing offense, here we go. 20th in yards, 25th in touchdowns, 29th, just bad. Absolutely terrible. So this is the guy. This is the guy that you're going to entrust to get you guys out of the cellar. Where you have plenty of players ready to come back, right? You'll have Allen Robinson if he ever develops chemistry with Matthew Stafford. Van Jefferson will be there. You'll have players. Maybe you go bring back Odell Beckham Jr. Who knows? But you take a vanilla offensive mind like Mike LaFleur and you put him in charge of these guys, I don't see a net positive. If anything, they'll be stuck in neutral. What they need to do is develop a running game. Cam Akers needs to play. He needs to get regular playing time, and he needs to show why he was drafted where he was drafted. So this is nothing that Mike LaFleur can fix. Matt LaFleur's little brother, he's just cashing a paycheck, man. He's just cashing a paycheck. I don't see him doing anything of note out there in L.A. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, the NBA players should lose their All-Star game votes after voting in Chet Holmgren as a starter.
I'm not so upset. I think it's funny where anything else is bullshit. If the All-Star game doesn't mean anything. If anything, I do want to see Chet Holmgren out there playing the All-Star.
On crutches?
Yeah.
Trying to back down Giannis?
I think it'd be hilarious. At least he's going to play. At least he's going to try to play. There's some humor in it. Yeah, it's another thing. I think it's garbage. That's another All-Star game. Am I the only one that thinks the baseball All-Star game is the only All-Star game consequence? And the one slightly behind that is the NHL game? Which, I mean, NBA really should move to doing U.S. versus the world. And I feel like people will actually play and give a shit about that game.
I gotta go no shit. I really have to go no shit. Because this is a joke. It really is. If you want your game to be taken seriously, you have to take it seriously. You have Mr. Holmgren, who has not played this year, right? Kemba Walker got a vote. He played 9 games this season. Kendrick Nunn got a vote. He's a bench player. Who else here? You have Ish Smith, the immortal Ish Smith, Garrett Temple. All these guys got All-Star votes. Willy Hernan Gomez, good for you. Boban, Bismack Biyombo, Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder has not played this season at all. Why am I going to watch this game if this is how you treat it? Your own players are treating the game like a joke. You're treating it like it doesn't matter. So why the hell should I give a shit? I'm not going to watch the dunk contest, right? I'm not going to watch the skills competitions. I find that boring. I find it boring and derivative. The game is a defensive waste. Nobody plays any defense. And this is what the NBA is telling you. Whatever. Let's just put anybody out there. People will come. You put those guys out there and people will not come. They will definitely not come. a few years back, the NHL had a similar problem, but with the fan vote. The fans flooded the ballot boxes and got lifetime enforcer John Scott, former Ranger. At the time, he was a Buffalo Sabre. In fact, he's a goon. John Scott was a goon, and he might even admit to you that he was a goon. He was starting in an all-star game. That's a travesty. That's a sham. That's a mockery. So either don't play the games, because they don't want to play the games anyway, or take it seriously.
The NBA All-Star game?
Yeah.
See, I do think they want to play it, but they don't want to take it seriously. Like, I think they want to just mess around. They want to, you know, show off. They want to showboat. They want to jump high in the air, bounce the ball, catch it, shoot from ridiculous angles. Like, they want to play in the game, but they don't want to take the game seriously. Where the Pro Bowl, nobody wants to play at all. Like, at all. Like, they don't want to be there.
But the funny thing is that they'll play in that one, and then they'll take the next one off for load management.
That's another issue, right?
That's the bullshit issue to me. So, like, if you're going to play in the All-Star game, you have to play the game before the All-Star break, and you have to play the game after the All-Star break. I don't want to hear it. Like, I'm sick and tired of it. Charles Barkley's right. Like, they're getting paid an exorbitant amount of money, and you've mentioned it. Like, you're screwing your fans. You're screwing the fans. And this is just nothing. How much do you think NBA All-Star Game tickets cost?
Oh, forget it.
Yeah, exactly. People aren't coming there to see Boban. No offense, Boban.
I love Boban.
Boban is fun. He's a Boban character.
Bag? Toby bag. I love that commercial.
He's a charismatic big man. The problem is that I don't want to see that charismatic big man playing basketball.
I don't want to see your face.
I want to see him in, like, an Andre the Giant-like role. Like, I want him to be Fezzik. I want him to be Fezzik in The Princess Bride. I don't want him playing basketball. So the NBA has a problem on their hands, and if the players aren't going to take this seriously, then they shouldn't have a vote. Bullshit or no shit. Number three. Cole Caulfield quit on the Montreal Canadiens by choosing to have season-ending shoulder surgery.
Yeah, this is tough. They're out of it. Like, they're out of contention. He's a young kid, and he got a bunch of second opinions on this. Like, another fall could make it worse. His shoulder's in really bad shape. I do believe he wants to play, but at the same time, he's in a contract year, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he can't afford to really damage his shoulder. So, no, I'm going to say it's bullshit. He didn't quit on his team. I do think he wants to be out there, but he's listening to the doctors. With 36 games left, he's just like, I'm just calling it quits.
Yeah, I'm going no shit on this one. He's putting himself above his team.
No way, Z. Come on.
Why get all the second opinions?
He's not trying to do. And what about him? He's in a contract year. He can't afford to get hurt. He's saying it feels weird. It doesn't feel right. He's saying I've got to pop it back into place. I'm done. Like, come on, he's not putting himself. I don't think he's putting himself on the team at all, man. He's a young kid. He's trying to get another contract. He could really mess up his shoulder. He could screw his season for next season.
That can happen anytime.
You don't care.
And I don't know. He's a restricted free agent, by the way. He's not. He can't go anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's restricted. So the Canadians can match whatever offer he gets. So he's going to be a Montreal Canadian next year.
That's fine, but he's on his entry-level contract. Like, he wants to get paid.
Then do something to get paid.
He leads the team in goals, man.
Uh-huh. And?
He's their best player. What else do you want him to do? Play the 36 games on a bum shoulder?
I want him to show the grit and toughness of a Montreal
I want him to die out there. I want him to be a true Hab.
He's a hockey player.
Damn it, get out there.
In all seriousness, though, from see, he's 22 years old.
Oh, look, he's even younger than I thought. I thought he was 26. Yeah,
he's 22.
Come on, man.
In all seriousness, it's bullshit that he quit on his team. Yes. So, in all seriousness, it is. So, I mean, you can't have that. I mean, yeah, the money thing, whatever, but if he's healthy, he's going to best provide you with his skills, right? He's already has 26 goals in the year, right? He's a minus 10. So, you know, defensively, he's got a lot to work on. But in terms of growth, you're not going to grow if you're unhealthy. So, yeah, Caulfield, especially up there, is probably going to take some flack because Montreal Canadiens fans are diehard. So it's hard to say with any degree of seriousness that he had to play through this injury. If it was the playoffs, or if they were playing for something other than the number one draft pick, maybe you consider it. But, you know, I don't even think you play for the President's Trophy, because that doesn't guarantee you jack in the NHL. The President's Trophy winners rarely advance. They rarely win. So, better to err on the side of caution. Better to go with doctor's advice and rest up, heal up. Hopefully in the offseason, Montreal makes some necessary moves to try and better their position. And then they have some good players. They have Caulfield, they have Suzuki. They have some guys. Like, they just need more. That run of a couple of years ago when they went to the Stanley Cup final, like, that seems like so long ago. And frankly, it was. But yeah, you have two guys as part of a young core. The last thing you want to do is jeopardize that young core by forcing them to play through an injury.
Looking to break into broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, or filmmaking? Then CSB is the program for you. From day one, you'll be trained hands-on by industry pros like friend of the show Rob Adams, whose goal is to get you trained and get you working in months, not years. CSB offers 8 and 16-week programs in small class sizes designed to give you the personalized attention you need. If you can make it in person, there are 5 East Coast locations. If you can't, they offer virtual classes too. How great is that? And once you graduate, you become part of the alumni network that gets you to the front of the line. Trust me, I'm an alum myself. Go to gocsb.com today, request more info, set up a studio tour, and who knows, you may very well be on your way to a career in broadcast media. That's gocsb.com, and tell them Z sent you. gocsb.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. Here's how it goes. We put up a poll on our Twitter account at FadeRouteDNZ. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. Do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Ah.
Yeah, that was kind of a layup. That was kind of a layup after that abysmal performance end of game and whatever the hell that play was. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees, D?
All right, so Z, first I got, for Alleged Superstar of the Week, I got Joseph Asai. you know, pushing Patrick Mahomes out of bounds at the end of the Chiefs game, which resulted in a 15-yard penalty, allowed the Chiefs to kick the game-winning field goal. That really cost the Bengals. It wasn't the sole reason why they lost, but it didn't help. Joe Asai, do better, man. Just do better. Number two, Joe Burrow. Pretty bad AFC Championship game. 26-41, 270 yards, one touchdown, two picks. Joe Cool did not look so cool. A lot of that had to do with his offensive line being banged up and just not playing to his potential. Joe Burrow, do better. Just do better. And last but not least, Mike Francesa. Today on Get Up, you said Peyton Manning was the best regular season quarterback and Joe Montana was the best Super Bowl quarterback. Dude, let me just tell you something. You're trying to say Brady's success is just attributed to his 23 years in the league? Straight trash. Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowl titles. Regular season quarterback could be debated amongst a plethora of quarterbacks, but to say that Tom Brady's not the best Super Bowl quarterback of all time, get that garbage out of here. Mike Francesa, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Z, what do you got?
All great choices. All great choices. I'm going to start with one that's a little outside the box. The Empire State Building.
Solid.
The people who run the Empire State Building. What the hell are you thinking? The New York Giants' blood rival, Philadelphia Eagles, just win the NFC Championship, right? They beat the San Francisco 49ers. And you decide to light up the Empire State Building in Kelly Green and White. Huh? What are you doing? Next, it's going to be what? You're going to do what? You're going to light it up red and blue for the Boston Red Sox? What's next? Green for the Boston Celtics? Oh, I got it. Yellow and purple for the Lakers. I don't understand this one bit. Have some kind of idea of what's going on. Have a clue. Empire State Building, you are my alleged superstar of the week. NFL officials, dear God, can we get something right, please? Can we get something right, please? Multiple roughing the passers missed. Giving the Chiefs an extra down. Breaking the chains again in Philly. Just a comedy of errors. And these are your all-star crews. Imagine if they were the everyday schmucks. NFL officials, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then, last but not least. And this was a tough one. Right? This was definitely a tough one, but it wasn't that tough. The NFL again. Your Pro Bowl skills competition. You're trying to launch something new. You're trying to launch something better. You want people to tune in and put eyeballs on this, and you're going to give me Derek Carr and Tyler Huntley. Nobody wanted to see Derek Carr when he was active. Nobody wanted to see Tyler Huntley when he was active. That's not going to sell this concept. You need some sizzle. And that ain't it. NFL, you are my alleged superstar of the week. We've said our piece. Go to our Twitter poll and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
Order up!
It's been a while, but we're back in the saddle. It's time for us to order up.
Order up, order up.
This week, in honor of the Pro Bowl, we're going to come up with the best ways to spend your free time during Super Bowl Media Week. From 5 to 1, who you got?
I'm going to allude to you to get us started on this one. You know, new year, new thing.
All right. So, for me, number 5, watching paint dry blindfolded. No, in all seriousness, there's lots of great new shows out there. There are lots of great things that you can watch on Netflix. So, we can definitely find some things that we can do. For me, my 5 shows that I'm kind of interested in now. Number 5, Harry and Meghan. I didn't think I would be into it. You know, I'm not a royal. I'm not a royal by any means of the... I didn't watch the wedding. I didn't do any of that. But you know what? It's fascinating.
So whose side are you on in this?
I'm only through episode 2. Okay. So I'm being impartial.
Have to tune in next week to find out whose side you're really on here.
Absolutely. Like, I still have more to do. Like, I watched the 60 Minutes interview, and I was intrigued. I was hooked. So, like, I definitely went in, and now we're watching. You know, my girl and I, we are watching the documentary. Yeah,
girl. You can't call your girl anymore, man. She is your fiance.
That is true. Yes, that is true. That is true.
She's gonna listen to this, and she's gonna be very offended.
My fiance, I love you, baby.
My fiance.
Yes, absolutely. Number 4.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Well, Seinfeld reruns are always good on the list. But number 4, gotten into Kim's Convenience. That's another one that I've really started watching lately. Like, I know it's older, you know, but it hasn't been, it's been out for a little bit, but, you know, it's hilarious. Like, that show is just really good. If you have not watched Kim's Convenience, definitely give it a go. It's worth it. Number 3, I'm going to go and I'm going to rewatch the Royal Rumble. Like, I'm going to rewatch the Royal Rumble from this year. Like, I heard Cody Rhodes won. Like, I'm very interested to see.
I was about to say, are you rewatching it to see if somebody different might win?
You know, I just want to see if there's some kind of Mandela effect. You know, I just want, you know, maybe that somehow Roman Reigns wins, like, even though he's the champion.
I believe Rhodes won from the 25 spot, which seems to be a very popular spot to win from, I hear.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming back from the torn pec. You know, he was gone for years. He was in AEW, but now he's back. And
from what I understand now, you have a choice, right? When you win, you could either get your match at WrestleMania, or I think you get a match on, like, Raw or SmackDown or something like that. Like, it's not used to be whenever you won the Rumble, you were the headliner at WrestleMania. But I think it's changed a little bit.
It used to be a guaranteed main event, but now, like, WrestleMania is now over 2 days now, so you can be on, like, the main event of night 1 or night 2.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's very interesting to see. I mean, the shows are, like, 7-8 hours long, so it's, like, you know, definitely splitting it up is a great way to go. Number 2, Golden Girls reruns. You really can't go wrong with the Golden Girls. It is a fantastic show, and it's still poignant to this day. It is still poignant to this day. You know, that some of the humor was way ahead of its time. And for me, number 1, I have an AP. I have a calculus 2 class that I'm taking. So, like, to do my master's degree. So, I am going to be deep
you
in
foolish,
math.
Foolish, foolish man. Oh, hey, God.
I am. Oh. You know, tell me how I took this 20 years ago and it makes more sense now than it did then.
Yeah, because your mind is able to open up and comprehend it more. But, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
Rudiment, yeah, I took rudiments to calculus freshman year, and then I had to take calculus 1 and calculus 2 in my junior year or sophomore year.
Oof.
Yeah, it was woo.
It's rough, man. Woo. It is rough, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be way more interesting than whatever questions they're going to ask at Super Bowl media day. Like, if you were a cloud, what kind of cloud would you be?
Cumulus. Those baby cumulus nimbus.
Give me a nice white puffy cloud. That's all I want to be, is a nice white puffy cloud on a beautiful day. But those are mine. What are yours?
All right. Well, I went a different route on this one. So number 5 coming in, I got catching up on all the weekend projects that I didn't do during football season. Like, you know, fixing a garage door panel, doing a little painting, unpacking as I moved into a new home. So just things that I've been putting off because football just takes over my Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. Number 4, I have actually shopping for the big game. We like to do a theme in my house for the Super Bowl. So whatever team wins, you know, we try to get something cultural from that town. So we've got, you know, Kansas City. So we're going to try to do some barbecue. You know, that's the route we're going to go. And for maybe like some little Philly cheesesteak egg rolls, that might be fun.
Solid.
You know, solid. Maybe get a recipe from you.
Either that or, you know, we can go back to Barley House. Like, those are really good egg rolls.
Yes. Yes.
Shameless plug, Barley House. Really good stuff.
The next up I have is staying warm because it is going to be 5 degrees next week. Early in the week, so just staying in and trying to keep warm and staying warm in the house. And then number 2, which I'm going to plug infamously, is find your favorite parlay and throw some big money on it. I just joined FanDuel and I'm enjoying it, so that would be my number 2. And the number 1 thing is spend time with family. You know, you kind of toss them to the side and get angry with them when your fantasy player doesn't finish his game. So, you know, you've taken it out on the ones you've loved for the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, last couple of months. So it's spending some time with them, making them remember that you love them.
And that's important, you know, like we sometimes lose sight of that, especially as we're doing this. You know, we're just laser focused on what we're trying to do, trying to make sure that we're seeing everything, or, you know, at least looking into and researching everything, that we can sometimes lose that. So it's definitely important that we touch base with, you know, the ones that we love and, you know, remind them that, you know, that we do care, and, you know, the sacrifice that they're making for us to do what we're doing right here. Because what we're doing, I mean, that's fun. Like, this is fun. Like, I'm not, you know.
Oh, it's a riot.
Oh, it's absolutely, it's fantastic. But the sacrifice that they're making so that we can do this and have fun doing it, you know, it's something that, you know, can sometimes be taken for granted. So anytime we can catch up and, you know, let them know that we care, I think that's an important message to send.
On a side note, I've recently learned that Babe Ruth is buried in my town, so I plan on checking his gravestone out in the next 6 months.
Well, there you go.
Very nice. Very nice up in the gates of heaven.
There you go. Like, that might be, it definitely might be a little Fade Route field trip, for sure.
Possibly. This has been the Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Anchor, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week.
want to get on the action? We want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @faderoutednz. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd.